we're going to return to Hasharas Avreichem in a few minutes. I wanted to begin the new Zman with a Torah from Kedushas Levi. Today is the Yahrzeit site of Rebbe Levi Yitzchok and Sarah Sasha. And it's not possible to enter back into Limud HaChassidus without taking 5 minutes to remember Rebbe Levi Yitzchok and to learn a short Torah from Bereishis to be mamtik all the dinim and to be meyer all kinds of good things for the coming year, for this year. So just for a few minutes, then we'll return to Hasharas Avreichem. On the pasuk in Bereishis, might be a little bit hard to read on the right hand side, on the bottom, where it says a yivur bepasuk v'nahar yoytze mi'eidah lahashkei sasagan. There was a river. We all had a lot of time to be ma'aviv sedra for Bereishis, so I'm sure like myself, that many of you didn't have a chance to get past the first base to get to the Reish. And Bereishis, you have to be ma'aviv. Bereishis, you have to learn the whole year together with every other parsha. I mean, that's what I do. I learn Bereishis. I try to be ma'aviv sedra, and I always try to learn more from Bereishis every parsha of the year, because every parsha of the year is Mekusha, Mechuba, dependent on everything's Bereishis. So we didn't have enough time. We have to try to be mashal whatever we can. So the Torah says that there was a river that was leaving Eden. It was flowing out of Eden at Lahashke Sesagam. And it was giving life and irrigating and bringing water and life to the Gan, to the garden. Because it's known, Rebbe Levi Yitzchok says, that every Jew has to attach himself always to midas tovus, to good midas, and midas yisharis. La'aseis nachas ruach lahabari baruch hu. To give nachas ruach, to be always pleasing to the Rabbanu Shlomo. V'ha'avdus ahi yiyeh b'chdei shispari imai Hashem Yisbarach. And this avaida of constantly working on our midas, to be midas tovus, midas yisharis, and this avaida to try to give nachas ruach, the goal of this is that the Baruch Shalom should be proud of us. He should take great pride in all of us. That's what we want. B'chdei shispari imai Hashem Yisbarach. As it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Aimer, Eze Derech Yishar Shiavaleha Adam. What is the Derech Yishar? Which the Vedicha is explaining means that way of Yashus, of Tikkun Hamidus, of working on ourselves to grow, that a person should choose for himself in this life. Kol Shi Teferis La'Isar, V'Teferis La'Iman Ha'Adam. So what does it mean? Tiferes la Yisera, but Tiferes la Yiman Ha'adam. Who's the Yisera? And what does it mean? That it brings splendor and glory to the one la Yisera and Ha'adam. Zesh Amr HaMishnah B'Mesek L'Shayna. The sweetness, he says, of the language of the Mishnah, the words of the Mishnah, Kol Shi Tiferes la Yisera. All that brings Tiferes la Yisera, which we always understood, the simple meaning of the Mishnah is, that the Mishnah is telling us, the Rebbe is telling us, that we should always do things, each and every person should do things that bring splendor and glory to himself. In other words, to the one who does this thing. And min ha'adam, in the eyes of other people. So he says, Kol Tiferes La'Aser, Dahainu Kadesh Yispar Imai Hashem Yisbarach. Tiferes La'Aser, I believe Yitzchak says, means Kadesh Yispar Imai Hashem Yisbarach, that the Rebbe should be mispar with the Yid, that we should do everything in this world Derech Yishar Shiavlech HaAdam, that a person should live a life that's an Eilech, a good life, so that the one who made us, the one who made everything, should have Tiferes. He should be able to take pride. That's what it means, Isa. Isa means the one who created everything. But the one who created everything should be Mespoya. Shu'isa HaKol. Avabamis Lacharikasha. Mazal Hashem is Baruch Lefnei Adam. It's hard to understand. Mazal Hashem is Baruch Lefnei Adam. What does the Baruch Shalom care? What does he have? Mazal Hashem is Baruch Lefnei Adam. What does he have? What does he to take pride? To have Nachas Ruach? Mazal Hashem is Baruch Lefnei Adam. V'leyesh lo kamam alochi emayla asheh mishamchim lahabayrei. His pyrus, pride and splendor and glory, the Baruch Shalom could take from the Malachim. The Malachim, he has many, many Malachim that are great and exalted. Ella, shezo ikka b'chiroso ba'am Yisrael. This is the ikka b'chira, the main b'chira. The ikka b'chira, what the Baruch Shalom, of course, wanted, and that's what it means, b'reishis, b'shvi Yisrael, shenikru reishis. The ikka b'chira ba'am Yisrael, sh'af ha'pishem diuta tachtayna, Afa pi shehem b'diyuta tachtayna. That what? The bechira, the choice that the Baruch Shalom made, is that even though a yid is in the lowest place, b'diyuta tachtayna, afa pi shehem masmidim tonel avadasa. Despite the fact that they're in this world and oftentimes not doing so well. Nevertheless, Masmidim Tom Lavadosa, they continuously are trying to serve him. The Zeo Shamar Vitiferis Laiman Ha'adam. And that is the meaning of what the Mishnah says, Vitiferis Laiman Ha'adam. The Haimush Afa Pisha Adam Hubabhina Ktanish Bhaktanis. Even though an Adam, the human being, which means an Adam Yisrael, is even Bhaktanish Ktanish Bhaktanis, even though he's on the lowest level. And despite the fact that he's feeling terrible about himself, and he knows himself, the things that he's done in his life, and he knows his nesiyanus and his failures and so on, and nevertheless, he perseveres. He tries to get up, to daven, to learn, to do mitzvahs. There's no question that the Baruch Shalom is glorified and takes tremendous pride in this person. That's the side of what a Jew has to know, that the Baruch Shalom has this Tiferes Leiman HaAdam, that the Baruch Shalom takes great pride in each and every Jew, with all of his ups and downs, but he's still trying, he's still pushing, he's trying to be better, he's trying to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, he's trying to learn. It's Tiferes Leiman HaAdam. Da'ayin min HaAdam HaMegiyah Eilav Tanug. That means, whoever's learning Kedusha Slavi knows that this is something which is ever present in his Torahs, that the Baruch Shalom has tremendous Tanug, has delight and pleasure from the Avodah of a Jew. Da'ayin min HaAdam HaMegiyah Eilav Tanug, not only from Adam Gadol, not only from the Tzadik. The whole point of what the Rebbe is saying here, of the Kedushas Levi is saying here, is that Davka a person who's b'chinah ketanus b'ketanus, that a person who's mamish in a low place, and af al pichin, and nevertheless, oved es Hashem Yisbarach. He keeps on pushing to be oved es Hashem Yisbarach. Vada is a bari baruch hu mispari imai. Zel tiferes lim and odem b'hayim and odem agiyah elef tanug. The Baruch Shalom has tanug, has delight and pleasure. From this avoid of a Jew who keeps on trying despite all the setbacks and difficulties and problems. And this is the hispirus that Hashem Baruch has with the Yid. And when a person thinks about this, when you really, really think about this, no matter what your matzav is, how the Baruch Shalom is mispar, if you keep on trying, not if you throw in the towel or something else, God forbid, we're talking about you keep on trying. When a Yid thinks about this, this itself gives tremendous tanuk to Hashem, that you know how much tanuk you give him. When you realize how much nachas ruach and how much tanuk he has from your perseverance. And what happens then? What happens when the Baruch Shalom Kivyachal has this tanuk? Whatever it means for Hashem to have this tanuk, What happens? See, with a person, sometimes like you have a time, and you just sit back and you're feeling good. The Baruch Shalom is very, very busy. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't just relish the moment. Good things happen when the Baruch Shalom is having tannuk. And what's that? The Baruch Shalom is kivyachol receiving tannuk when he has pleasure and joy and takes pride in us. That translates into something very real. When the Baruch Shalom has that, then kivyachol we give him. Again, kivyachol, we give him that, or I'm using these words only, of course, very, very loosely. We put him in that frame of mind, kivyachol, and in that mood, kivyachol, where as a result of the tannuk, it overflows, and he's mashpia hashpa tova l'chol ha'olamos, and he's mashpia hashpa tova, then he pours a hashpa tova to all worlds. If you do who? Shanahar hu hashpa. And the Rebbe comes back to the pasuk. Nahar hu hashpa. We know from the Zohar Kodesh that the word nahar, which is river, which in Aramaic means light, right? Nahayra. That a river means something that flows, something good, something life-giving, that flows from above to below. From the one who gives to the one who needs. That's what a river is. What does it mean? That there's a nahar, there's a river. There's a current, a stream of hashpos, toivas, of all kinds of brachas and good things. And where is it flowing out of? Where does it come from, that river? So the Rebbe says, it comes out from Eden. What's Eden? Eden means pleasure and delight. Adonim, pleasure and delight. This nahar of unbelievable hashpos, of good things, flows out from where? From the Eden, from the delight, the tanuk, shmegila shemzbarach, that the Baruch Shalom has from our avoid in this world. Yaitse nahar, a river flows out from that Eden, from that pleasure and delight that shemzbarach has. Dainu hashpo toivah. That's the Hashpa Toivah. Lahashkeis esagan, and that waters, meaning it gives life. The Hashpa's Toivah is Lahashkeis esagan, the garden. The garden is the Ayin Ha'ilamis, the world that Hashem Yisbarach created. Ki Ha'ilamis nekoreim gan, because the worlds are called Hashem's garden. Let's go back to the Hachshavas HaReichim. That's... that's a good way to begin... Asman, the boys here are learning, or zeichet to sit in Beis Hashem, and should have this in mind every single second, no matter what. And all of us, we should think of this, because the Rebbe says when a person's mechashev is, when a person thinks about the nachasuach, the hisparus, the teferis leimin ha'adam, that the Baruch Shalom has from every single one of us who's trying to be better, who's trying to learn more and do more mitzvahs and so on, that tanuk causes there to be all the hashpos, toivus in the world. And the opposite of that is, God forbid, when a Jew feels discouraged and feels depressed and sad and all of that, God forbid, prevents the nahar from flowing into the gan. To keep the nahar flowing, we have to have this tremendous hergish of simchas achayim, knowing that with all of the difficulties, the Baruch Shalom has merdik, immeasurable aspires from each and every one of us and from our avodas Hashem. As long as we keep on trying, each and every one of us keeps on trying, then the Baruch Shalom has such a aspires. The schus yagim we will call you so. Around page Samach Aleph. You recall that the Rebbe was warning us. This whole section of the parak is like a hakdama, to help us be able to try to clear out some of the delusions before we move on And what he's saying, what he was saying, we were learning last week, was that there is this deceptive method that the Yetzer Hara has for a person to use sort of a side entrance to go into a way of thinking and a way of acting that's unholy, and that the side entrance means that by a person thinking about, so you have, let's say, he doesn't want to think directly about something which is dead, something which he shouldn't be thinking about, but he says by talking about or by thinking in one's mind about how this other person or these people are doing such horrible, terrible, disgusting things, and being upset about how could it be that person is doing this, and how could those people be up to such terrible things, and so on. So the Rebbe was explaining that by doing that, he says, it's a way for a person to vicariously experience machshavas that he knows are forbidden to him. So by thinking about how others are engaging in forbidden things, and by being critical of them, by being angry about how others are engaging in these terrible things, this person himself, to some degree, is entering into that world. And that's why, let's just review that paragraph before. We were up to the paragraph of Armumius, but let's just review the one before, Ukshani Latzmi. We learned that last week. Let's just chazer for a second. Ukshani Latzmi, Ilu Pagati, Barver Kazeb, Eishon Achshavus, Elo Arvizbay. The Rebbe says, myself, if I would meet this person who's having these thoughts about how so terrible, how those people are doing this and doing that and so on, he says, if I would meet that person when he's having those thoughts, I would whisper into his ear and say, he said, you should know that all these machshavas that you're thinking about this other person, how this other person has these problems, shalchahein, these are your problems. These are your machshavas. They're your machshavas. You don't want to take credit or blame for such machshavas. And you know that these are machshavas that you would not feel comfortable attributing to yourself. So what you can do, what the person naturally does, is he talks a lot about and criticizes. That's one of the main things, you know, that comes, let's say, with listening to the news a lot and reading the newspapers. I'm not talking about reading things that are, God forbid, that are, even though the newspapers have a lot of things that are, depending upon which newspaper and so on, but by reading about the kinds of things that other people are up to, and then, you know, saying this is terrible, you know, this is terrible, it's the world coming to. But what the Rebbe is saying is that Shas Maisa, when you're reading about these things, which people are generally very fascinated by, all these things, when you're reading about these things and you're feeling very critical of the people who are doing these things or thinking about these type of things, but Lamaisa, the Rebbe saying is, you are attributing these thoughts and these actions to another person, but Be'emes, you're also the parasha. Shalchahein. Obviously, it's not always clear when is that, and a person has to be in a big madrega of l'shem shemayim. That doesn't mean every single time that a person, you know, criticizes something in the world, we say, that means you want to do that. Or that's not what he's saying. It doesn't mean to say that you want to do that now and you want to do that aveir now because you. But it means say, but lemaisa, you're conscious of it, and that consciousness and that. And the fact that it's something which is al haperek, it's part of your consciousness, means that on some level, it's passing through your consciousness, and that's not necessarily something which is safe, you know, as we spoke about more bariches last week. Atahu ha'ish plenish atachayshav lavas kolze. You are that person that you're thinking, that you're talking about, that you're thinking about. As kolze atarets alasis. But you're being critical of, he says, really, those are things that you wish you could do. Calls out the right to Lazarus. You would like to do. Ladabra, you would like to say. Alkalpanim lachshay machshavas rose kailo. And if not to say and not to do, alkalpanim to have at least to enjoy thinking about this thing and not taking any of the blame for the thought, because you're just thinking about how terrible it is that person is doing those things. וכיוון שאתה מספיק מהן, לכן תאווי שכם עכשיו ישכם מרמז אישך, since you are ברוך השם, you're a person that holds yourself back from these things, you don't do those things that you're criticizing in other people, therefore תאווי שכם עכשיו ישכם מרמז אישך, therefore your tavis, your own personal desires and thoughts are deluding you, ולבוש זולוסך מסלבשייס, and they delude you and wear the disguise of being somebody else's thoughts, of being somebody else's actions, in order to permit you, in order to justify your thinking about them. Really, that's what you want to do. You want to think about these kind of things. But you know that you can't think about them as being your own actions and thoughts, so you can vicariously enjoy them by being critical of other people who are involved in these things. And a person can test these things relatively easily. You know, whether or not when you see like an old chaver or somebody that's up to, let's say, God forbid, mischief when it comes to Yom of Kedusha, whatever, when it comes to places that he goes to and friends that he has and Yom of Kedusha. So see if that see if you get as worked up about the fact that your friend is not keeping Shabbos properly and moves muktzah as much as you get worked up about his girlfriend and stuff like that.
You have to go there and save him.
Like I had this conversation once with somebody. They were sending these 18, 19 year old boys and girls to, you know, to pool halls to save other 18, 19 year old kids. Said that, you know, look, you have to see, what is it that upsets you? Does it upset you? Does it upset you terribly, terribly that this person is, you know, whatever it is, tikkun amidas and certain inyanim of Shabbos and when it comes? It's a way of, what the Rebbe is saying is that if a person needs a way to enter into a certain way of thinking or feeling something without taking the blame for it, so then we have to constantly check ourselves and to wonder and to worry whether or not we're in this bechina that Rebbe is talking about. And what is it about other Jews that cause us to feel, you know, anguish and grief and to feel very, very upset? And if it's something that, if it bothers you about Shabbos or something like that, so a person has to make a cheshbon with the other things. Habet bekibbuch. The Rebbe says, look inside of yourself. Habet bekibbuch. V'tirish akashulcha lifresh machashay machshava se'ela. And you'll see that it's very hard for you not to think these thoughts. What do you mean? Why should it be hard for me not to think these thoughts? This has nothing to do with me. This stuff is just about other people. But you'll see that it's hard not to think these thoughts because you want to be in those thoughts. You want to be able to have those thoughts because at least on some level, in some very faint way, you're able to continue partaking of something while keeping it alive in another person, instead of just sitting around and doing what you're supposed to, which is concentrating on your learning and your davening and your avodah, whatever you have to do. So this armonious, this shrewdness, this deception, armonious hasatan. There are many levels of deception that the evil one, that the Yetzirah uses when it comes to machshavos, when it comes to thoughts. Dakais become dakais min hadakais. Very subtle and subtle thoughts. All different ways that the satan makes his way into a person's thoughts. Kosher saying liyashvan, v'gam kosher lahakiran. It's very hard to straighten these machshavas out because we see that the main problem here is that the enemy is disguised. The enemy is disguised. You're feeling self-righteous and indignant and angry about how other people are not ovdei Hashem, how other people are over all kinds of aveiros and involved in all kinds of things. And you feel that you're being a better Jew by having all of these thoughts. And this is on many, many different levels. The Rebbe is saying it's very subtle, so it's kashas heliyashan. It's very hard to straighten these things out because you don't think that they're crooked. It's very hard to straighten something out if you think that it's fine. Kashas heliyashan. I'm kashal hakir, and it's hard b'chlal to recognize these thoughts as originating from the other side. In your mind, these are holy thoughts. Kashas heliyashan. I'm kashal hakir. I remember once I had a bunch of guys, there was a whole thing when I was in yeshiva and there was a cell with a bunch of guys that there were a few of the guys in the yeshiva that they were at the beginning of the Zman, whatever, there was something going on that was really not good at all. So it was causing a tumult in the yeshiva, so a bunch of guys, you know, we came like a committee to this to one of the rebbeim to complain about what could be done and so on. So we told him, you know, about this and what to do. We didn't name any guys, we didn't snitch, but we told him about a problem. That's, you know, there's a problem. So the Rebbe just smiled and said, "I know you really wish you could do that, right?" He said that. He was, "Sounds good, no?" As he said. So, you know, we were all very upset about that, and how could he say that? But then, you know, after we were schmoozing, he said, "Yeah, of course he was right. But we're angry. How come those guys are getting away with it? How come they're getting away with this? This has to stop. This has to stop." So then the question is, why does it have to stop? It has to stop because it's getting the Baruch Shalom. It's causing problems for the Baruch Shalom. Is that why it has to stop? You're such a kanoi. You're so nervous about the Baruch Shalom. You're so worried about the Baruch Shalom. Like some Michigan kanoi, you know, in Yerushalayim, that, you know, one of those 25-30 nuts that go around, you know, screaming Shabbos and throwing rocks or whatever they do. With people, you know, with the non-religious people think that every religious Jew does that. They're 25-30, you know, crazy people. So he has such a haggish for Shabbos. And those are generally the chevra that barely step into a shul their entire lives. Those guys that are running around, that are roving around the streets over there. They're not from the Bnei Aliyah of Yerushalayim. And anybody who's in the parasha there and all the Yerushalayim know who those guys are. Shabbos. Want to go to Shabbos? Go inside the Beis Medrash and learn in Shabbos. Say Tehillim, go to the mikveh. You're standing down the streets waiting for some girl to pass by in the pants, to drive by and to scream out Shabbos. You wish you could be in the back seat together with her. That's why you scream at Shabbos. You wish you could get out of this crazy neighborhood. Get me out of here. I'm stuck in Babylon my entire life. I got to get out of here. Shmuel HaNavi, it's making me crazy here. Take me to Tel Aviv. Save me. That's what it means, Shabbos. It's a bunch of baloney. They're from the lowest chevra, those guys. That's what the Yerushalmi is. The real Yerushalmi is not even, they're not garish them at all. They're not guys, just like tourists. So people think like this is the elite of you know, of the world of Torah and Yerushalayim that are coming out to greet them by the road. The Yerushalmis know that these are the lowest nebuch, the lowest dregs that are lost. These are menuvolim with long payas. And the Yerushalmis know that they're not guys them at all. They don't go into their shuls. They don't sit in their yeshivas. They stand jay around. Everybody thinks these are the Yerushalmis. But the Shabbos, not because Shabbos doesn't bother him, Shabbos. He has such a pain, Shabbos is a violation of Shabbos in his life. He can't stand to see the Zechil Shabbos. It's baloney. It bothers him so much. You know, I'm not saying there isn't such a thing as a true kanoi. There are true kanoim here. The Briskarov is a real kanoi. The Briskarov said Shabbos, he didn't. But if he would have said Shabbos, he'd say, oh, that's serious. When you get someone here, then you have these little kids that stand there, also says Shabbos, you know. It's nothing. It's just, what are they going to do? They can't watch cartoons. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to stand around and make trouble and to just hang out on the streets. And you never know what you're going to see. You know, maybe you'll see something interesting. Sitting in the yeshiva, sitting in the smedrash, you've seen that your whole life. It's not really interesting. But if you go on the street and you stand there, the guardians of the city, the guardians, nothing. They're chalishing to leave together with those people that are in the car. This is part of the, you know, it's very subtle. And that's what he says, because it's hard to recognize. Kashal Hakira. You think you're a big kanai. You think that you're the greatest defender of Yiddishkeit in the world. You're the one that's worried about Yiddishkeit. The same thing when it comes to what they call Kiruv and how a person's Isaac in these inyanim of Kiruv and where a person goes and how a person goes. You have somebody that's Isaac in Kiruv and he goes to certain places, he has to ask himself, in the world, is he holding by this to be in these places? Is he really so upset about what's going on, or would he like to join them? And it's a question that sounds horrible. What do you mean? I would like to join you talking about that. This makes me sick. No. It's not so pleasant. Right? It's very, very, very scary. Yeah.
For example, the example that we gave in Yeshiva, so let's say a person is honestly not big fellowship, would be nice if I could somehow also get into this harsh about. So in the meantime, I'm protesting, but the person also wants to self-preserve. He understands that it's an over, he's looking or thinking about things he shouldn't. So says, at least get it, I'm protesting to get it out of my environment. Somebody else is getting away with it. It's true, but if they stop getting away with it in my environment, then it'll
make it better for us. That's true. That's why it's very subtle. They're different madrigas. So a person can make a machar. A person can make that. You know, he's protesting because he knows and he realizes that this is something which is enticing to him, and he wants very, very badly for this to be eliminated from his life so that he won't have to deal with it. So those are Eilecha Yidden that want good things, and they want to remove the obstacles from their lives, and Ashrayim, those are, God knows who they are. Those are great. But then you have the other ones who would be very disappointed. Can you imagine, like, if the Israeli government's going to announce, all right, the people, you guys are right. You know, the guys like in Meir Sharon Gould, you're right. We're taking down all those, you know, ads for the girls in the bathing suits. With everything clean, we're putting up now pictures of your rebbes on every bus stop. So these guys, the real ones, are going to be just, Baruch Hashem, because it's killing me, that stuff. But then there'll be other chavers that are going to say, what? What are you talking about? That's my protest stop for the last 12 years, that bus stop. That's why, you know, like, I feel like I know the person in the picture already. It's a friend of mine. So the real, you're right, the Eilecha ones admit that this is a problem, and they want it eliminated because they don't want to have that. They don't want to be nichshol. They want these stumbling blocks to be removed. And those are God-fearing people. And they would probably be the first to admit to you, yeah, I'm attracted to these things and I'm worried about them. But then you have the other ones that are not like that.
I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, so they got the TV out of their house. Why? It's not because there was, I mean, they were worried about the kids, but the guy said, I was watching Yama, I was able sometimes to watch Yama and Lila. If I didn't get the thing out of the house, I was pretty
well, that's an Eilecha Yidden. That's what Yiras Shamayim means. Yiras Shamayim means when a person says, I know this is part of my life, I know this is bringing me down, help, I gotta get rid of it. That's beautiful. That's not, the Rebbe's not talking about that. Right? That person acts upon that this person's a tzaddik that you're talking about, whoever that is, that made such a decision, because he's saying this is something which is wrong, I have to get rid of this. And he's saying he's the first one to admit that this is something that he's struggling with, and he's losing, and therefore he has to take extreme measures. Not like all the other tzaddikim were saying that, no, I have no problem with it, I have it in my house, and I know, and I, you know, it's being carefully guarded, and we have certain times, and my wife and I are very careful with the children, and even for us, it's only, you know, it's on a timer, and it's only a certain channel, and it's only a certain time, depending upon, you know, the mazalas and different things in the universe that we watch, and it's only because we want to know what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, because we're very, very strong Jews, and we care deeply about our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we can't be like these primitive people who are just don't know what's happening. We have to be able to see. You know, well, this person's now looking at. He's saying, "Let's call a spade a spade. This thing is bringing me down. I'm not playing any games like the rest of these people are talking about. You know, being worldly and educated and so on and so forth. See, when I was younger, that was something that you could try to sell to somebody, because at that time there wasn't the television, the hat thing. Of course, it was never appropriate, but it wasn't schmutzig like, you know, like now. Now anybody that says that, any intelligent person looks at you like, come on, you know, you're keeping the television, so you should be educated or something. That's why you have a television. You should be educated. No, you should be able to see the World Series. That's what you keep telling me. So go to a bar for a week and watch in a bar. You know, this your whole television. You have to have a whole year just because there's a chance that the Yankees will get into the World Series, and then there's what's so wrong? What's so bad if I watch a baseball game? Is there anything wrong with watching a baseball game? Everybody says like, why they have a television? So what's so bad? Because what's so bad if I watch it, or if I watch a football game, you know, on a Sunday? What's so bad? Kaidim Kol. I'm not talking about Bittul Torah and all those other things, but all of these are the svaras of a person who's caught in the armumias of the sudden. That why, and how do you know that? Because he can't part with the television. See, this person is a tzaddik, because he says that he's connected to this, and he's in it, and it's big, and he gives a scream, and he takes this thing, and he heaves it out the window. And it's finished. And then he feels good, and he starts finally to be an Eved Hashem, and finally the tefillahs in that house can go up to Hashem, and the kriyashmas of the children and everything, right? Because he feels good finally. Finally, Vayishlom is not angry every time he looks at this house, and it's a good feeling. But then you have another person here that has all kinds of armumias. He's with the svaras of how. Yeah, you know, I want my kids, because then if I don't, because I had somebody telling me something recently, just. Because this person said, he said to me, Rabbi, but you know, I said, why don't you get rid of the television? It's ridiculous what you have there with this. So he says to me, no, why? Because I see that the homes where they don't have a television, there the kids are much more obsessed with television. But in my house, where my kids are allotted a certain amount of time, they grow up and they see it, and then they make these decisions. You know, when they're 6 years old, 7 years old, they make these decisions, and as they grow up, and then you see they're not for hits at about, they don't get crazy about the television, they have to go looking later on. Like this, they get out of their system. So these are svaras. I don't have to explain what the harmonies, the crookedness of these svaras. This is like out of space. All of us here who saw television, I mean, I didn't see television in its prime, like. You know, you guys are watching, the young guys here watching television. You saw television, God forbid, the last 10, 15 years, whatever. So each and every one of you, every day of your life, is struggling with those machshavas. Because you know that you can't remember yesterday's taisis, but you remember that show from 12 years ago. Right? So your parents did you a big taisa. Because now you know how to deal with the world. Isn't that great? Like, we're all such matzlichen. Because our parents helped us. I'm not saying the parents aren't God forbid. I'm not criticizing. They didn't know whatever they had there in you. I'm not saying to criticize the parents. But they helped us get a head start in life. Like the person who says that I want my son to be able to go out with girls and to be involved in certain yarn. This way, when he's married, he'll be more experienced. He'll know how to deal with these things. So these. Machshavas are machshavas of such crookedness, of such deception. Obviously, they're much more easy to recognize than the subtle machshavas. The Rebbe's talking about Sof Kol Sof. He's talking about a real Eilech HaYid. You know, he's talking about these Chassidus Shavreichim that are not doing any of these kind of things. But even in such a way that the machshavas pass through a person's head. But all the svaras when it comes to a television set, and then also all these svaras, you know, that my wife won't let me get rid of it, these are all svaras of Hevel. The wife won't let you get anything that he wants in his life. If he wants it badly enough, he's willing to make his whole family miserable for it. But this Indian, the television, you tell him 10 years, 15 years, how can you still have the television? It's not, and you're a person, you learn Torah, you like to learn a lot of Gemara, and you like to learn some Chassidus, and you still have, because my wife, that's also Bub Mises. I don't believe any of that stuff. I mean, I never say that to the person's face when they tell me that, because I got to be like nice and stuff. You know, because I don't want to lose friends, you know, and I still have some kesher and try over the years to keep on pushing at this thing. But, you know, I know that that's Bubamaisis. Your wife, you're a baby. Your wife doesn't let you. And everything in your life you do, you know, you say, sweetheart, is it okay if I do this, and it's okay if I do that? And all of a sudden comes the television. You become such a shalom bias, you know. I can't. No, my wife. Everything in your life, like you don't have such a dark heart. Oh, no, the television. My wife would be very hurt if I got rid of the television. And that's not even true. Your wife, a person that knows how to, that's smart and does things with seichel, and the person that's a big, big Yirei Shemayim could figure things out, just like this person got rid of his television, whoever that person is, got rid of his television. I never heard of anybody getting divorced because of getting the television. I know about divorces because of the television and because of the internet and all the machine kids. That I know, divorces. I never heard of people getting divorced because someone got rid of a television. I'm interested if you know anybody like that. If I get rid of the television, my wife's going to leave me. No, if you get rid of the television, then a million other ladies are going to be leaving you if you get rid of the television. But your wife is going to stay. It's the ones that have the televisions that their wives are leaving. I don't mean the wives, I'm just leaving. Except in their minds, the wives are leaving. Yeah, the wives go away because then they have the television. And they think, what am I going to do with them? Then you have the other stuff. My kids are not going to be able to deal with it. Oh, wow. Look at that. Your kids are not going to be able to deal with it. This is also, it's like you're hurting your children. You're such a nice guy. What, that you're machriv of them? You're machriv that you're destroying them in 120, you have to ask the Rebbeinu Shlomo why that kid has to go for the next 80 years of his life with those machshavos because you put a machine, you plugged it into your house. That's not a churban. But you're worried about how's little Yankee and how's little Sarah going to deal with the trauma of watching the daddy take the television. So do it in the middle of the night when they're sleeping and throwing it out. How's Yankee going to deal with it? That's what you're worried about, the churban of Yankee. That he's going to have problems because daddy got rid of his television. Again, I'm not saying that brothers just, you know, you have to do a seichel. Of course, to talk to children with the emails and to try to educate them to bring them the right way. So this far as well, how can I take away from Yankee? Because all of Yankee's friends have it. These are all games, the Satan. And 120 of them, when the game's over, the Mashem says, are you kidding? Every machshava that the kid has on the parents' cheshbon. Every single machshava. The difficulties that kid has when he's married, because he has certain expectations of what his wife should be doing and looking, how she should look, and all of that goes, it's all on the parents' cheshbon. Every single thought's on the parents' cheshbon. And you're going to say to the Baruch Shalom 120, when he says, look at these machshavos, look what you did to your kid. So he's going to say, I didn't want to hurt his feelings by taking away the television. You didn't hesitate when it came to screaming at him for, you know, because, you know, he dropped the chocolate on the carpet or something. That you didn't worry about screaming at him. But when it comes to your Shemayim, these are all amumis of the Satan. These are all games with the Satan. But that's what he says, that cautious Hanley Ashwin. It's very hard to straighten these things out. It's very hard to straighten these things out. Become kosher like you, and it's hard to recognize them. Vayim lo yakar es an heish. And if a person doesn't recognize what these really are, these machshavas, where they're coming from, if he doesn't recognize, he's smiley cool of machshavas rolls. He can live his whole life filled with machshavas rolls. His whole life living, and it's always being critical about somebody else that's doing something or thinking about something and so on, but those are his machshavas. Etchila b'remia melavush zulasai. In the beginning, it's done in a deceptive way. It's disguised in somebody else's life. In other words, you're thinking about somebody else. V'achakach gam gluyis ma'atzma. And then, over time, they become revealed even in yourself without having to go through the trouble of disguising these thoughts in somebody else's life. They become your own life. After Vesav Tisla Kachna. They can take hold of your own taivas, of your own desires. Vilo Yedas Makaran. He doesn't know where do they come from. Where do these things come from? Kevitchabitchila Khoshav Kishaima who is Atzma Mehan. Why? He doesn't know where it came from, because he looks at himself and he thinks of himself as a person that Shaimahu as Atzma Mehan. That he was guarding himself from these things. He was guarding himself. Not like from the person that Moshe was mentioning, where the person says, I have been weak in this area. I'm weak. I have not guarded myself properly. I have to do something extreme with my life to stop this. I have to do something. That's Ne'elechiyid. But this person thinks that he's very, very, very far removed from all of these things. Adarabba, now is he far removed, but he's very critical, very, very critical for other people who are doing these things. Without admitting to himself that that is only a way to be matir to himself, to permit himself to continue investing his thoughts and his emotions in things that are not holy. Alem Yakare son. But if a person recognizes where this is coming from, like this guy with the television or throughout the television, Alem Yakare son, Ba'arpan Yechazin, then you grab him by the neck. Then you grab it and you throw it out. You don't sit around and schmooze about it all day. You don't think about it all day. You grab and you throw it out. That's what he says, Ba'arpan Yechazon. Ba'arpan Yechazon. You grab it by the neck, by the throat, and throw it out. Ba'kolmar. Because you recognize, you know where that's, you know what that thought is, you know where it's coming from. Ba'kolmar. With a bitter voice, a cry, Ba'kar Libai, and in the depths of the heart. Yitzhak, you're screaming, Hai Reitz Cheshav is Danefesh, you murderers. You're trying to suck out the blood of my life to kill me. You know that. You recognize the enemy. You don't play this game with the Amumis of the Satan, this dance with the Satan that is somebody else and some other Indian and somebody else's problems, and I'm angry because I want to do the Ratz Hashem, and Hashem wants me to be angry about other people doing these Aveiros. This person screams, he grabs this and he says, You murderer, this machshava is a machshava that's murdering me. Machshava, what am I Isaac in these things, Bechlal? I don't have to be Isaac in any of this stuff. He writes, Cheshav is dam nefesh. You're a murderer. Lomazet tarmuni latameini. Why are you trying to trick me? To what? To be metame me, to destroy me, to defile me. And you're using all kinds of svaris and fancy things to what? To throw me down to the depths. You repeat this over and over. You say it over and over. What? To recognize what it really is. And to be angry. Like the Nozir that came to the Shimon HaTzadik, kissed him on the forehead, like the Gemara says, Halavai Yabu Nazim Nazir Svisal Kamaycha. Because he said that he looked and he saw his reflection in the water, and he saw that he was such a good looking guy, and his Yitzhahara started telling him, what are you sitting in yeshiva? You're a good looking guy. And that he spoke to his reflection, and he said, Rasha, you Rasha, what are you trying to destroy my life? Why are you destroying my life? He was talking to his own reflection. And speaking to his reflection in the water, and him, Shimon HaTzadik kissed him and said, even though in general, that wasn't Shimon HaTzadik's mahalach. Said what? That a person should accept Naziris upon himself, Kidu. But such a Nazir, such an unbelievable person, that he's able to look and to say, Rasha, he's able to look at his own reflection to say, I know what you're up to. I know where this is leading. To identify, to be honest with himself. And then he went and took upon himself and he cut his hair off and so on. I know what you're trying to do. I'm not going to try to dress this up in anything fancy. And then when a person recognizes that, then Hashem is Baruch Hu Yizir El Aram Yischa. Then over time, with that fighting and with that struggling, over time, the Yitzhahara is not going to have the Aziz Panim. Those thoughts are not going to have the chutzpah to start up with you. They see it's not good business over here. You don't go for his games, and you doichem b'shteya die. You don't go for this. You have some friends that are sitting around on a Motzei Shabbos, whatever, on a Friday afternoon, they talk about how this guy is this problem. That just walk away and take the chumash and go someplace and learn. It's hard. You'll see that it's hard because it's interesting what they're talking about. What do you mean it's interesting? It's bad stuff, and everything is always finishing. You know, it has to be chayzer b'tshuva. If it's so upsetting, how come it's so hard for me to walk away from it? And to just take a chumash and go on the side and read Rashi. Maybe that's more interesting than Rashi. A person has to be honest with himself. But what, you have to get involved. You walk away. No shaykhis at all. When the Yetzirah sees, when the Satan sees that a person is onto him, when the Satan sees that you're onto him, then he leaves you alone. He says, it's not good over here. I'll go to somebody else. It's not good over here because this person, every time I try something, I try a new mahalach, I try this trick, I try that trick, every single time this guy says to me, get out of here, you're a murderer. I know what you're doing. I know what you were trying to do. And then the person creates a wall around himself, and the Yetzirah knows that it's not kedai to go over here. It doesn't work over here. That's the inyan of a person making himself into such a strong person. It's hard. Because that's what the Rebbe is saying, because we don't recognize where these things are coming from. We don't acknowledge, we don't recognize, we're being dishonest with ourselves. He's not going to try to put on any disguises to trick you anymore, to be matami you by coming around in his disguises. He's going to give up on, because he sees that you see through his disguises. He sees that you understand. You know who he is. You understand. You know what it's about. In all of one's thoughts. This is the beginning of being Ovid Hashem. He says, in general, when it comes to thoughts, if a person doesn't recognize Bechalosem, but they're saying, if you're not conscious of what your thoughts are, then it's kamat impossible to rule over them. If you're not conscious of what your thoughts are, a person has the ability to be a melech, to have malchus in his own life, to rule over his thoughts. But technically, you have to know what your thoughts are, right? If someone says you, oh, congratulations, you were just elected to be the, you know, you were just appointed to be the king of some kingdom. They say, I don't know, what that is. I never met one person from that kingdom. I wouldn't recognize it if you took me there. So then what's your malchus? Doesn't mean anything. The person doesn't know what his machshavas are, and he doesn't know where they're coming from, then how's he supposed to rule over them? How are you supposed to control machshavas? Why should you even want to control machshavas, to control thoughts, if you don't know b'chalal where they're coming from? You don't know your machshavas. You're not a person that thinks about it. You're not conscious of what your machshavas are. You just sort of like move along through life. But you don't make a cheshbon ha-nefesh to stop and to reconsider and to study frames of thoughts, mind, things that you have in your mind over the course of the day, and to take a highlighter and to say, well, look, this thought was an inappropriate thought. I have to be more careful this tomorrow. This is not a thought that I should be having. I have to be careful of it. A person who's not conscious of what he's thinking about. So what kind of malchus? How can he rule? How can he control his thoughts? He was b'chalal not conscious. They just move through him. He's like a spectator. Things just come into his head and they pass through him, and he has no recognition or awareness, and the mela, he has no ability to control anything. It's just an open border. It's like everything comes and goes. Has a person supposed to have any control over the borders of his mind, of what he's thinking? As kemat iyev shalei lim shalei. Vav, the next page, liyashon yik shalei ma'ay. And certainly, how can he straighten his thoughts out? There's no bechlal. If a movie would be made of what a person thinks about during the day, and then at the end of the day, like the last thing you do before you go to sleep is you relax, you lie down, and you take out your set, this is where you're allowed to have the monitor. That's another habit that people have, to have monitors also, because otherwise the children can have some happiness or something. So you take out the monitor and you press a button and they play all your thoughts, like with good actors. You can get like stars, the best actors, and they're playing out your thoughts. Nobody else knew about that, only you have those thoughts, and you press a button and then it becomes like an action film, your thoughts. So you can imagine how we'd feel. You'd have to turn it off after 30 seconds. You'd be disgusted. So somebody might say, I never thought about that. That's not my, I don't know what you're talking about. I never had such thoughts. I was only thinking about how other people have those thoughts. And I never had those. Those are not my thoughts. Those are other people's thoughts. I was just upset about other people thinking about those things. I would never think about such things myself. But the actors and actresses, whatever it is in the film, they're all running around like with a T-shirt with your name on it. Moshe Kapaya. Like, you created these actors in the film. It's your film, the story of your life. It's in your brain. So if a person would see that, he would be filled with disgust, with bahala, like, and he would be more conscious to fix things the next day, so it would be a nicer movie. You know, some move. So only a person who's thinking about what is machshavas. I'm not talking, God forbid, in any kind of an obsessive way. The Rebbe never, everything here with the Rebbe is normal and healthy and good. But a person who's bechlal not conscious of his machshavas, if he has no cheshbon of his machshavas, so then how can he fix them up? But a person who makes a cheshbon and nefesh of what is machshavas are, what did he think about over the course of a day? And he even writes down a few of the things and tries to figure out tahbulas, ways and strategies about how to avoid these things tomorrow. So that person's already, that's gewaltig, that's your shemayim, that's tremendous. And even if he has a difficult time the next day, Hashem still is misspoiling him, Hashem still delights in him and takes pride because he's working on it. He's working on it, that's okay. If he had a bit and he fell back into it, no. Other Rabbi, he's working on it. That's what the Beditcher was saying. You work on it. But to just stop and be like that, and to go one day after the other, and to nothing makes a ration, you don't think about anything, how could you control machshavas if you don't even keep a cheshbon of what your machshavas are? Of course, there's much, much, much more to talk about in this inyan. I'm only speaking a little bit about this here at the beginning because we have to talk about his structures and the beginning of learning how to be a misragish Navaz Hashem, and therefore a little bit we have to talk about clearing out some of the delusions and difficulties that come with this Avaida, which we're going to mention next week. He's going to talk about the problem of laziness, which we learned about in Chavis HaTalmidim, which he reminds us of what we learned in Chavis HaTalmidim. And then the Rebbe is going to soon we're going to be leaving this section of self-critique and moving back into the, you know, it gives a few tachbulas, a few aches about how to deal with some of these things, some practical aches, and then full speed into the union of his structures and his lives.